Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, and the 37th verse. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, and verse 37. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Mark chapter 7, verse 37. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." We read, don't we, in the lesson here this evening, in that 31st verse, again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, and we find here how wonderful it was that he had needs, like he did in going to Samaria, to go for that dear woman. And here he had need to enter into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and he came for this dear man. You know, it's a wonderful thing, the Lord knows exactly where his dear people are and exactly what they need. And what a comfort that should be to us today. Because with this dear man, he was in a state of being deaf and who had an impediment in his speech. And they bring him to the right place. Now, there's a few things I just want to briefly look at in leading to the text. First of all, where did they bring him? They brought him to the Saviour. Reminds me of the dear man in Mark's Gospel when his son was, in chapter 9, was possessed with Satan and trying to cast him into the fire and into the water. And what did Jesus say? "Bring him unto me." And think in your heart the things that may concern you and burden you this evening. Where are you bringing them to? Are you taking them to man or to our loved ones? Or are we taking them to the Saviour? Well, with the dear man in Mark 9, the same in this case, they took them to the right place, to one who was able to deliver them. Think of what we often quote it, but it's a beautiful couplet in the hymn. "He is able, he is willing, doubt no more." And the reason they brought him to the Saviour here was because of his condition. And they bring him unto him, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they besought him to put his hand upon him. And why did they beseech him to put his hand upon him? Because they believed that he was able to heal him. We sing in another hymn, don't we? Faith believes it, and hope expects it. And that's a blessed thing, you know. When we look back at our godly forefathers and many of the old saints that used to gather here over the years, you know, they were wonderful characters of faith. They believed the Lord would do it. Just as the dear man in Mark 9, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so they bring him because they believe the Saviour would do it. Now you're thinking, oh, we want to bring it right home to us. Those things that may burden you and exercise you and concern you tonight. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring for his power. And love us such that none can ever ask too much. And here they were not asking too much, were they? They believed the Saviour would deliver him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and then and he spit and touched his tongue. The two vital things that the dear man was lacking in, the Saviour was able to grant it. First, he was to give him hearing. It's a wonderful thing is hearing, isn't it? We're told in the Word of God that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now let us just pause a moment. How do we hear? Well, the Lord is the witness. Do we hear as we go up to the house of God for our souls? For eternity? Or do we just hear for time? You think there are many, you know, they go up and they go all their life to the house of God and they hear hundreds of sermons preached, but only hear for time. Solemn, you know. But what a blessed thing when we can hear for eternity. I remember reading of a dear old lady. She used to attend one of the London chapels, and she went in and out of that chapel for years till she was over 80. And she heard ever so many sermons, but you know, the day came when she was to hear for her soul, and she was over 80. And the Lord so opened her ear to hear that she'd never heard the gospel like it before. And the Lord gave her special hearing. So she didn't just hear with the natural ear, she heard with her soul for eternity. And the dear woman, you know, she was so overcome, and she said to the deacons and to the old minister, she said, "This is wonderful, I've never heard the things like it before. Was there life and power to me now?" You see, the time had come for the Lord to touch her ear and open them to hear for eternity. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now how do we hear? Take heed, the word of God says how ye hear. And then of course there are those that hear to suit themselves. I've heard many people say, oh well, I had this to suit my case and that to suit my case. But was it they just hearing for themselves? To suit themselves? It's a solemn thing, that is. You know, it often searched me, every sermon, I realise every word we utter, we're answerable to the God of heaven in it. And the same thing applies in the hearing. Oh, it does. You know, when we come to the judgment seat of Christ, we shall have to give an account of every sermon we've heard preached. What effect is had on us. You know, really, when the Lord brings that home to us, it'll make us tremble, that we might truly hear for our soul's profit, but then hear to his honour and his glory. So this dear man, though he was deaf, you see, the affliction was upon him. Man couldn't hear him. But they bring him to Jesus. And the dear Redeemer, he deals with it so simply. I thought how wonderful it was. He took him aside from the multitude. It was something personal for this dear man. It wasn't just to be seen. The Pharisees liked to see a lot of show, they did. But here, in the wisdom of the Saviour, he takes him aside and deals with his case. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord takes us aside, isn't it? It may be from the busy scenes of life, and we go into the house of God, and he takes us aside from everything and gives us a true spirit of hearing. And now with this dear man, you see, the Saviour's fingers were to be put into his ears. The hands of the God of heaven, Jesus himself, the King of Kings. And then the impediment he had in his speech. And what did the Saviour do? He granted to him that instead of being dumb, he could speak and speak clearly. And what do we read? And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. This was what the Lord was to do with this dear man. Something that was impossible with men. Now there may be those of you tonight that have got those things that you may be in providence, it may be in the family, it may be in your soul, and you look at it all and you say, Lord, it's impossible. But it wasn't impossible with the Saviour in this case, was it? Oh, think of what the Lord said to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Here was a hard case, but it wasn't too hard for the dear Lord Jesus, was it? Oh, no. You may wonder why I name this as a text this evening. The Lord gave it to me just after 2 o'clock this morning. I woke, and as I woke, that hymn we hope to close with dropped in with such sweetness to my soul. With his saints are joined to tell, my Jesus hath done all things well. You know, it quite broke me down, really. It's just as I, awoke, the Lord breathed that into my soul. And it's remained with me all day. And you see, the Lord was to do this for this dear man. He hath done all things well. You know, there are many things we come into. Yeah, we think of dear old Jacob particularly. When he saw the blood-stained coat of Joseph, and all the sorrow that he walked through after that, how could it ever be that it was all to be well? It looked impossible, didn't it? He'd heard the words of the brethren. But you know, in the sovereignty of God, the Lord sent the famine into the land. And they had to go down into Egypt, as we know the whole case now, each of us well. For corn. And that was all part of the purposes of heaven, that Jacob may be able to say in it all, he hath done all things well. And then of course he sinks even lower when Simeon was kept down there. And then they come to take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. How could it be all well? Well, you see, it was all in the hands of a covenant-keeping God. And when he heard the words of the brethren that Joseph was yet alive and was governor of all Egypt, we read this, and Israel said, that is the new man of grace. We don't read Jacob said it. Israel said, it is enough. He could look on it all and say, my Jesus hath done all things well. All those sorrows he'd had to go through, and all the weeping and all the tears and all the grief, was all for his good and all for his teaching. You see, the Lord teaches his dear people to profit. Oh, he does. There's a lot of things we may have to walk through that be no profit in at all, because they're just us and of the flesh. Not many natural things there's never any profit in. But you see, the things of God, there will always be profit in them. Oh, there will. For the souls of his people. And you look through step by step through Jacob's life, and he could truly say, It is enough. He hath done all things well. Oh yes. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? He hath done all things well. And you think this evening, and I just want to hint at it, in God the Father sending his beloved Son into this earth, he hath done all things well in sending him. He hath done all things well in the sufferings that the dear Redeemer had to endure. What for his dear people? And if the Lord favour you, poor soul, with a taste of pardon in your soul, and the sweet assurance that the Saviour came into this earth to suffer, to bleed, to die for you, you'll be able to say this: he hath done all things well. You know, dear Mary Magdalene, after the resurrection, in all her tears and weeping, when he came to her and said, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" You know, her very soul, as soon as he spoke to her those words, that word Mary, she knew it. And she could truly say in it all, "He hath done all things well." And it may be tonight, those things that really burden you and exercise you, and you can't see how any good could come out. But if this is of God, the hour will come where you'll be able to say, "He hath done all things well." And that's a wonderful place to be in. Well, let's look at it just briefly concerning the case of this dear man. It was not just he that could say this. It was those that brought him to the Saviour. And we read, "And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it." It was so wonderful to them, they had to declare it, you see. And what did they say? "And were beyond measure astonished." Well, you think of the Saviour when he was here upon the earth. There's a beautiful word, you know. I remember the late Mr. John Farley preaching from it at Bounds Cross soon after we got married. It's over 50 years ago now. And it's a beautiful word. "They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." You know, the Pharisees and the Jews and the Sadducees, they just could not believe it. They were astonished at his doctrine. Why? "For his word was with power." And you think of it here. "And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well." Not some things. Every particle what this dear man needed, the Saviour had done it well. There was no fault in it at all. It was perfect. And this is what is so wonderful about what the Lord does for his dear people. It's full of perfection. As for God, his way is perfect. His word is perfect. His dealings with his dear people is perfect, because it's free from all sin. You see, here in the deafness and the dumbness of this dear man, it was the fruit of sin. You know, all affliction is the fruit of sin. Oh, it is. Solemn, you know. Before the fall in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin. There was no affliction. There was no trouble. There was no distress. As soon as sin entered, so did affliction. So did trouble. So did distress. And here, the Lord was not only manifesting his power in causing the dear man to hear and to speak, but in it all he has done it all things well. Perfect, you see. Such is the deliverance. And this is what I love so about, as for God, his way is perfect. Oh, it is. And you know, when the Lord really blesses us, and you can see the perfection there is in it. It's free from all sin. Such is the wonder of it all. And it brings peace to the sinner's heart. And not only does it bring peace, but it delivers them from all these things that weigh them down. He maketh both the deaf to hear. This is what is recorded. And the dumb to speak. Now, two things, and then I'll leave it. First of all, what a wonderful thing it would be in 2019 if there were many deaf ears opened. Oh, yes. You know, really, those that have no desire for the Lord or for his ways or for his truth, they turn a deaf ear. Oh, they do. They're deaf to the word of God and to his ways. But may it please the Lord in 2019, if it's his holy will, that the deaf shall hear. You know, the sinner can be miles away from the house of God, maybe in a desert, or in the busy streets of London, and the Lord calls them to hear his voice, like Saul of Tarsus did. You know, before that Damascus road, Saul of Tarsus turned a deaf ear to the truth. But what a difference when the Lord opened his ear. And he opened his ear when the Lord spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he trembled under it. And may there be those that are deaf to the commandments of the Lord and say, "Oh, well, that's for somebody else. I don't desire to walk that way." And they are deaf to the commandments of God. But what a wonderful thing when the Lord opens the ear and they hear the command, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And then, and the dumb to speak. Many, you know, of God's dear children love the Lord and love his truth, but they're dumb. they don't speak. And we need the Lord to cause the dumb to speak. You know, and when the Lord really blesses the sinner, that's what you do. And they're about to speak. And they're just about to open their mouth. And the Lord will speak through them. And they speak well of the precious Jesus. And speak well of all that he's done for them. Let me use one illustration, then I must leave it. You think of Legion. He sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He was quite contented to rest there and dwell there the rest of his days, and you can well understand him wanting to be when the Lord had brought him away from all those tombs and the deadness and the coldness that was there, to sit at the feet of Jesus. But you know, the Lord was to cause the dumb to speak. And what did the Lord say to him? Go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. He got something to tell them. And he could tell them it from a very soft heart. And think of it tonight. Have we not got anything to tell? Well, with his saints are joined to tell. My Jesus hath done all things well. And as you look back tonight in your poor life and mine, can you not say, he hath done all things well? Well, let me come low. Do we desire to say it? Is this our longing? To be able to say, he hath done all things well. The glory belongs to the Lord. The benefit is ours.